Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, the Glass in the Afternoon radio program. News Sports Talk 98.7 AM 1370 and WGCLRadio.com. Wherever you may be listening on the fourth day of August, happy Tuesday. The sunshine is out and we are not melting, even though it is August. That is my favorite part of the week so far. Sure, too much rain yesterday. That's fine. We can use it. We can always use it because we know it's going to get hot again. It's not going to get hot until this weekend. 74 downtown at WGCL. Welcome back, spring. It was good to see you again. Stick around, will you? And it looks like you are. 52 tonight. The air conditioner gets a break. 77 and 56 on Wednesday. 80 and 58 on Thursday. 84 and 61 on Friday. So we just go in the right direction as the week continues. And just a 10% chance of rain in the forecast for the work week. 86 on Saturday, 89 on Sunday. Those of you who waited patiently for summer to return, yeah, it's still August, Keith. It's not going anywhere just yet. But a nice reprieve, if you will, from this weekend or from last weekend up until this weekend in the heat department. Updated forecast, live radar, find it all at WGCLRadio.com. Before we get to Mayor John Hamilton, who's patiently waiting on line one, CBS 4 Indianapolis is reporting the court overturns appeal of man convicted in the 2006 murder of IU student Jill Bierman. An appeal by John Myers, the man convicted in the 2006 killing of the Indiana University student, was overturned Tuesday. The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals overturned a federal court ruling from September of last year that ordered Myers be released.
Right.
You remember this story.
Yes.
Everybody around here remembers this story. The September 19th ruling handed down from U.S. District Court Judge James R. Sweeney of the Southern District of Indiana said the legal counsel for John Myers II was ineffective and vacated the conviction. Today, Keith, the appellate court disagreed. One of the experts from the court's view read, "The district court was right about the performance of Myers' trial counsel. It was deficient and plainly so in at least two ways. What leads us to reinstate Myers' conviction, though, is the strength of the state's case against him, separate and apart from those errors."
Wow.
And I won't get into all the details of everything that's going on, but the weight of these statements when combined with the other evidence leads us to conclude that his counsel's deficient performance did not prejudice him. The proper outcome is to respect the finality of Myers' conviction in the Indiana courts. Our examination of the record leaves us of the firm conviction that even without counsel's errors, the jury would have reached the same conclusion and found John Myers guilty of murdering Jill Bierman. The court's decision reverses the order granting Myers' petition, overturning the writ of habeas corpus. Tuesday's ruling effectively means that Myers will remain in prison and his conviction of the murder stands. We wanted to update you. Obviously, that story here, I mean, that story's been here for as long as we can remember.
Yes.
And Eric and Marilyn, we hope you find some peace in today's news. As we do every Tuesday just after 4:05, we check in with the City Hall and the mayor of the city of Bloomington is our great friend John Hamilton. Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Nice to see you, be with you. That story just keeps going, doesn't it? Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and we hope this, and you're a man of law, is there any appeal you go from here? Is that the state Supreme Court if they want to continue this going on? I know you don't have all the details in front of you, but I know you know more about the law than I do.
Well, I don't. I just you're sharing the news with me. But if it was the Seventh Circuit Federal Court, the only place to go after that is the U.S. Supreme Court. That's very unlikely. It's just tough on everybody to relive all this. I did see the other said he went out and bought flowers to put on her memorial site, and so that's a tough thing to keep living with. But justice wheels keep turning, I guess, after, 14 years from the sentence. Yeah.
From the sentence.
Yeah.
Not yet. Yeah. Almost 20 yeah, years for everything else. Yeah.
Right, right. Whew. May 2000 murder over 20 years ago. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's one chapter we hope can be closed.
Mr. Mayor, let's change the subject a little bit. There is a lot of concern in this community with students and coming back and COVID and all of the other things. And I know that they've started to return for some of the off-campus housing. And soon we're talking 35, 40,000 students arriving on campus. Are you satisfied with the preparation and what can come of students returning to the campus?
Well, it's a little different return this year, isn't it? I mean, every year we have this rhythm, and the city kind of picks up and perks up and gets more active, and you got people driving the wrong way on one-way streets every once in a while, or that yes. kind of thing that we all have to be careful of. But this year is different. And look, I think everybody's working very hard to try to manage the challenges that we have. I would not say that I'm satisfied. I think, looking around the country and seeing what's happening, and we're in regular contact with the Big Ten schools and their cities kind of working together, thinking about these challenges. Almost certainly we're going to have, pick a number, 100, 200 infected individuals arriving in town, if you just kind of look at the numbers. And that's a challenge. And how we treat that, how we behave together, how the new arrivals behave is going to be really important for how our community fares. The local community, county health order is now fully in effect that has mask requirements, which are very important. It has social gathering size limits, which are very important. I have regular meetings, and at tomorrow's meeting, I think we'll be talking about, is that enough? Are we ready, or do we need to revisit that a little bit and even tighten further? And it's, we don't know. The short answer is you're trying to be cautious, but not overly cautious, but the stakes are really high. So, all I can urge that everybody understand wearing masks really helps. So please do that. Follow the order. Basically, if you're not in your house or you're not outside in a distance from people, you should have a mask on. And that helps a lot, as does just avoiding the big unnecessary spreader events where you're with a bunch of people inside. And so we'll be monitoring that. But it's we'll be checking in every week, and I'll tell you what we know.
Excellent. And we appreciate, obviously having you on every Tuesday.
We can talk about some of the indicators going on now if you want. The hospital's got more pressure than they've had before, really, with the disease and the fact that it takes so long to get test results. So it fills up their rooms awful quick.
Well, and that's the interesting point, because when this pandemic turned into a pandemic, we didn't have those students here. And now that they're going to be back, we don't know what that's going to possibly look like with the strain on hospital beds and everything else, just because we don't have a point of reference from it. One thing I wanted to ask you about testing, and you're talking about results not getting back quickly enough. Do we have testing enough, period? I thought I read a week or so ago, Penny Cottle, the Monroe County Health Administrator, said, look, if you don't have the symptoms, we don't need you going down to the OptumServe site. I see a big article in today's paper with the OptumServe on the front page and all the news about air conditioning and everything else, but it doesn't say who can and can't go. Are we still at the you only get tested if you need to, or anybody can get tested? I've gotten lost in this over the last few weeks. Can you help me?
Well, it's no surprise. The short answer to this, we should have a robust national testing program, and at very least a statewide testing program, because what you have is every locale scrambling to figure out how do we provide testing. The national labs are getting swamped. Indiana University is building its own testing capacity. They're trying, as you probably heard, trying to get up to 10,000 tests a day that they can run themselves, because they cannot rely on national labs and the other infrastructure that's out there. And well, if every university and every community is trying to build its own capacities, it's really challenging. And we don't have enough testing because we'd want to have the ability to test anybody who think they might have been exposed, to do surveillance testing, which is what IU's going to be doing. And that means you're testing people to surveil, to watch for signs, even if they don't feel sick. Because we know like 40% of the people who are transmitting the disease don't feel bad. Well, if you don't test with surveillance testing, you just miss that. So we don't have enough testing. People are scrambling and working really hard to do all we can. The Optum site will be open through this month, but it may close after that. The state has said we may not keep this going for that long. And so now the city and county are trying to scramble to figure out how to do that. So that I'm not very happy with that situation, and it's really a lack of public health infrastructure, and, you know, that's a whole topic for another day. But as it is, you know, testing is trying to focus on people who feel symptomatic and sick, but, you know, you can do the math. If 30 to 40% of people never feel sick, but they're still transmitting, the short answer is we all have to act like we're infectious all the time. That's how you just have to approach this thing.
Until we get the test.
I might be infectious. Until we get the vaccine and comprehensive testing.
So there's the answer. If you are thinking about going to OptumServe or on whatever these, I don't know if I'm getting them, there's one at CVS
or everything else.
Probably when you sign up and you say, hey, have you been around people? You can probably tell them, oh, yeah, I've been around a lot of people that have, and you can get a test, but that's not helping the system at all. It's not. And that's
we just really all have to behave as if we might be infectious now. Because we don't know. And I'm not an epidemiologist, but the smart people who are say if we all wore masks for several weeks, we really could tamp this thing down. If we wore masks and avoided the super spreader events, we really could tamp this thing down. So that's what we need to do.
Start there and work your way back. I agree.
Mr. Mayor, let me ask you a variation of that question, because the place at the Armory, we're talking millions of dollars for that testing, and it now allegedly because of the air conditioning can go to 8 p.m. et cetera. But you know, you can be fine, you could test negative today and tomorrow you start the symptoms. The part that worries me, and you've had it in your family, is how do you know that you shouldn't get another test even though you're not debilitated yet?
Well, you said he's not an epidemiologist.
No, I understand
that. He didn't
even
stay at a Holiday Inn last night.
No, but the issue is saying to people, don't get tested, is not, to me, an answer that holds the...
I don't think anybody's going to argue that, Keith, but when you have limited resources, you have to put those who feel worst first, I guess.
Well, you know, look, if you're symptomatic, you definitely want to get tested because you want to get treatment if you need to and know what you're sick with. If it's a flu, that's one thing. If it's COVID, it's another. So that makes sense. Really, the overall public health testing, yes, we want to find the sick people, but mostly we want to know what is happening with the spread of the disease. Is it increasing? Is it decreasing? Are there hot spots that we need to be aware of in this or that community? And that's the surveillance testing that the public health experts really want to know. Do we need to tighten up our restrictions? What percentage of people who are asymptomatic in a random selection are infectious? Is that going up or is that going down? Is community spread happening? And all that depends upon a robust kind of randomized testing regime, which we just don't have. So in the meantime, you know, I guess the points would be, if you're symptomatic, yes, you want to get tested. But otherwise, you just kind of have to act like you might have this disease and anybody around you might have it. And in your own household, you can live together and don't wear a mask and just, you know, you're in as a pod, if you will. But when you're out and about, you have to assume you and others may be infectious without knowing it. And let's also remember, the other people are not, none of us is the enemy. The virus is the enemy. Nobody did anything wrong who got sick. Nobody, you don't blame anybody for being sick. They just got sick. It's the virus that we're against, not each other. We're just protecting each other.
We're speaking with John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington. And Mayor Hamilton, in the last days, we've had an announcement that they're kind of moving some people away from IU Health Bloomington Hospital to make more room. What should we make of all of this? Are we handling it the right way? Are we starting to run out of beds? You're in these meetings weekly. How should people feel about what's happening?
Well, look, we're blessed to have IU Health in our community. It's a very sophisticated health system that's part of a bigger system, and that brings a lot of advantages to us. It is sobering and it's significant that, unlike in the spring, where they never had to transfer patients or run out of room, right now the health system is having to send some patients to other communities, other hospitals, because, frankly, with something like 45 patients a day coming into a hospital on a regular day, many of them have to be tested if they're at all symptomatic for COVID, and they have to be isolated until they get that test result. So if you have to isolate somebody, they have to be in a single room. They can't be double roomed, which means you run out of rooms much more quickly. And if the tests take 4 days to get back instead of 12 hours, that means that person's got to be isolated for 4 days, even though they may not be sick. So that's put pressure on us. That plus the fact that the health systems, and understandably, have tried to start doing some other healthcare services, health elective surgeries and other things that need to be done. So they've got rooms taken up with that. So the fact that that is happening is an indicator that we really need to be paying attention to the community spread, taking the steps to avoid it, and continuing to monitor these daily, kind of what the caseloads look like.
And part of that community spread is evidenced by a Bloomington transit worker catching the COVID-19. Yep. You've done everything, rear entry, taped off 11, 12 feet in the buses so no one gets near the driver, but still these things can happen. So there is no perfect system.
No, you know, we had two cases early in late March, early April. Then we went 12 weeks with no employee getting sick, and now we've had about 8 or 9 in the last 4 or 5 weeks. So we've definitely seen, just as an employer of 850 people or so, we've seen a surge, if you will, in the last few weeks. And it appears, from what we can see, that most of these are coming not from workplace, but from out-of-workplace contacts. And we haven't had, through the contact tracing, whether it's through utility worker or transit worker or others, we haven't seen, or firefighters, we haven't seen workplace transmission happening, which is good. But it means the virus is out there and among us at the homes and at the where we go to church or where we go to, you know, to eat and those kinds of things.
Mr. Mayor, changing topic a little bit, there's another meeting coming up for how to use the property of the old hospital when the new hospital opens. Where are we on all of that, and how is the input coming?
Yes, that very busy hospital, of course, is going to be moving next year to the new hospital on the east side. And we're very excited to know the city, of course, has bought 24 acres and doing a lot of planning to think about how to build a new neighborhood right downtown. This Thursday at 6 o'clock is a second big public session to look at some of the ideas that our working group has been exploring. Really, this is it's kind of a blank canvas. The site will have a parking garage left on it, and maybe a little piece of the original old hospital at First and Rogers, but the rest of it is going to be raised, and the community thinking about what do we want there, what kind of housing, what kind of activity space, commercial space, civic space, green space, and it's really exciting. I call it a kind of a once-in-a-century opportunity to do something at this scale in a community and encourage everybody to get involved. We've had over 500 contacts with people with ideas, and we have about 499 different ideas so far, but we'll be working it through and trying to pick out what's the right thing to put our community's values into place in this exciting space.
And Mr. Mayor, it's the time when the council starts to talk about budgets and budgeting. And over the last week, there was conversation in the paper about substituting 5 police officers for 5 social workers in the community. That's just one of the budget situations. Where are you on that particular move, and where are we on budget in general?
Well, yes, the annual budget season is right at us. In a couple of weeks, we'll have a week-long session of budget hearings with the council, which means we're preparing those right now. I've given a major talk called Recover Forward that kind of emphasizes this is a little different year. We're obviously with a pandemic and an economic collapse like we've had, it's really thinking about how do we recover forward? How do we recover in the right direction? And I talk about toward racial justice, toward economic justice, toward climate justice, and doing the right thing so that as we come out, we're pointed in the right direction. And certainly public safety is part of the discussion this year. And we've looked hard. We've listened to a lot of people. And we have 95 police officers in Bloomington on our force. People should know that we have somewhere between 8 to 12 typically on the streets at a given time, but it takes about 95 or 100 to make that happen 24/7. So, but we've budgeted for 105 and just haven't been able to fill the spots, frankly. It's difficult to hire excellent police officers. We have very high standards. So we did decide this year to convert 5 of those unfilled positions into neighborhood resource specialists and social workers who are not armed and not sworn, but have proven, in the last year or two, have proven to be very helpful to the police force and to our community. Social workers who are helping deal with domestic violence situations, mental illness, other kinds of situations, neighborhood resource specialists who can deal with a lot of neighborhood issues or sometimes crime reporting that doesn't need a badged officer. So we're going to continue to explore that, really that reallocation and diversification of the police force, and we'll talk more about that the week of the 17th.
And obviously all those meetings are open to the public, so if people have comments or concerns, they can have their opinions voiced over the Facebook or Zoom platforms, I suppose, correct?
Yes, they will. They'll be. You can do it the way you do many other meetings.
That's, or send a carrier pigeon or write a letter or perhaps an email.
And Cats. Community Access Television also broadcasts those.
So. They will have it live. Yes. So that's the good news. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. And the budget process, we talk about it that week. Is it cut and dry in that week, or is this stretched out over a period of weeks after getting all the feedback?
Yeah, really, that's the week that the administration presents over 4 nights our outline of $170+ million of appropriations. And we basically present that to the council. They ask some questions, and then it doesn't actually get passed until October. They have a few weeks to dig into it. They can ask questions of us. We can tweak it some, but then it needs to be finally passed by October, so it's in place for the start of the next year. And we hope 2021 will be a different year than this year.
It better be. It better be.
Mr. Mayor, you talked about a housing study in progress. Where is that in terms of completion, deadlines, those kinds of things?
Well, we just released a pretty big housing study, 80 or 90 pages, I think, today, actually, was put out this morning. This was a study that followed on a regional housing study that the Community Foundation Regional Opportunities Initiative led, and one of 11 counties. And we said, let's dig a little deeper into this with Bloomington. And so a major housing study came out that I commend anybody's reading. You can find it on our website. But it basically said we need more housing, not a surprise. Mm-hmm. It said a lot of people in Bloomington are rent burdened or cost burdened, paying more than 30% of their income for housing. And of course, some of that the student population reflects, but we have a lot of people. We know there are a lot of people in Bloomington who are struggling with housing, even apart from COVID and the challenges we have with that. So, you know, I've worked really hard for 4 years, 4.5 now, to try to keep expanding our housing options. We're opening up new apartments, and I'm going to be talking about new home ownership opportunities actually tomorrow evening to council. And this housing study helps put its arms around that and think about numbers and strategies.
And when we move forward here throughout the month of August, every Friday you get together, is that correct, with the health providers in town and the emergency directors? And that's still going on Fridays, correct?
Friday afternoon at 1:15, we have a press conference. We meet typically a time or two separate from that, but that's a public press conference we do reporting to the community.
Gotcha. And obviously the county health order is until further notice. Do you expect, and I ask this every week, I was gone last week, do you expect any changes in that moving forward before the students come back, or do you think we have as many things in place right now as possible to kind of get around and but mitigate large groups, et cetera, on top of that?
Well, that's a it's a good question. It's a hard one. I would kind of say it's 50-50. I think given what we've seen, Indianapolis, you probably know, has taken some tighter steps than we have. We, seeing what's happening around the country, I think there may be some reasons for us to look at doing some more restrictions, but we haven't decided that yet. I'll continue to talk to the county health officials and hope we can do countywide things. But, you know, sometimes I may take steps inside the city because the city has different pressures. We have a different situation from, you know, rural Monroe County or Ellettsville or that kind of thing. So we're going to continue to talk, and I think there's still a chance we'll do some other steps.
Mr. Mayor, one other thing that happened this week was the charge came back on the parking meters, and you announced that there was going to be a kind of a to-go pickup kind of thing. And I was wondering, are these spots now out there, and is there a sign or something so we know what the spots are and how they're marked for the to-go to go inside long enough to pick up something to take it out?
Yeah, the pick-up and carry-out spots are, I believe, are marked. They should be marked because they're meant to create one or two spots on many downtown blocks so that you can do a 15-minute free drop-off and pick-up spot. And now we're going to watch you, Keith. If you try to go to 30 minutes, you know, be careful, because that's to make sure there's turnover for people who are just doing carry-out or that kind of thing. And again, you know, parking meters are a way to make sure that people don't warehouse their cars on the street, which we saw a few years ago. And they help keep everything moving smoothly. And we closed it for COVID, but we know with 30,000 students coming back, there are going to be a bunch of cars too. And we want to make sure that we keep room for all the merchants and downtown folks to get turnover so people can come in and out of their establishments.
Those pickup drop-off spots are now happening, correct?
Yes, they are.
I thought maybe there'd be a sign, or maybe they'd be painted in some way. And
it's supposed to be a bag over the meter, bags over the meters.
Simple as that.
The ones that are, so look for those.
All right, good.
Or if you don't see a bag on the meter, you better feed it.
That's right. Have your quarter ready to go.
Yeah.
Mayor, we thank you for your time as always, and as we roll on here in August, we just a month ago we weren't sure what this month was going to be. We're not sure what a month from now is going to be, so we might as well just take this one day at a time.
That's the way to do it, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you in a week, and hope you have a good week. Everybody stay safe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mayor John Hamilton, the city of Bloomington, joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05. Good information from him. So, as you mentioned, as we've talked about all day, don't write anything down in permanent marker or in pen, because changes, we have to be flexible. Things can change, and things do change. And when you add 40-odd thousand people to town, things are going to change again.
You bet.
As much as we would hope that everything runs perfectly, that would be a fool's errand to think we're going to have a perfect game. Remember my joke about baseball. It's not a joke. Baseball's been around since the 1860s. There have been 23 perfect games. That's not very many.
Not over that many years.
That's right. And that many games and everything else. What the sports analogy means, if you're expecting perfection, you're not going to get it. But you have to be flexible enough to manage the situation. And if you don't like it, that's fine. I can't make you like it or not like it. But what you can do is look at it rationally. And if you don't think 40,000 odd or more people coming back to town and everything's just going to be fine and you're going to continue to do what you've done because it's been summer in B-Town, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Remember, we haven't seen much of this kind of thing since last March.
No, that's even inaccurate. And I'm not picking on you, but it's true. They told them not to come back from spring break.
Right.
We didn't have any students here when this started. And we talked about, well, look, we only had, and Mayor Hamilton pointed out, hey, we only had 2 cases in the first 2 weeks and went 12 weeks without having any. We didn't have 40,000 students here. That wasn't part of the equation. The hospital has no idea what this is going to be like.
That's right.
The hospitals, there's more than one, Monroe and IU Health Bloomington Hospital. And all the student athletes that came back, and I'm not picking on student athletes, hear me out, please. The student athletes that all came back for voluntary workouts all had to be tested.
Right.
All had to be tested before they were allowed back to voluntary workouts in Bloomington, and they all tested perfectly. All of them. Because they're not allowed in if they don't.
That's right.
But yet, we have 30-odd cases of athletes, coaches, administrators, whatever, who weren't here, who came back here, or who were tested, all were perfect, and now, 3-4 weeks later, there's 33 of them that have it. So to think that, they just got it out of a vending machine is insane.
Correct.
People in town have it.
Absolutely.
So it's not these damn kids. It's not get off my lawn. The kids that come back to IU, yeah, you had it too. You've already infected those student athletes that came here and were tested and shown were clean, and now somehow have gotten it. They didn't get it from falling off a tree. They didn't get it because it rained too hard one day. They didn't get it from where?
Yes.
Where'd they get it from? They got it from people who are already here. And that's the larger point. So if you think everything's fine here and it's going to be these damn kids bringing the disease with them, you're right. But it's already here.
Right.
So don't think that it's one or the other. It's not. Now, good news, positivity rate's down. Great. 40,000 more people coming in. That's going to cause more interactions.
Got to.
And
yes.
The math just says it's going to go up.
Right.
So, everybody, not just you, Keith, not just me, everybody, and the mayor's right. You got to pretend like everybody has it. And if you don't, I mean, there's nothing. What are you going to blame? You blame people for being irresponsible. You blame people if there's a party of 200 people and you're at it. Oh, it's peer pressure. No, it's not. Grow up. If you're hanging out with groups and doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing, that hurts all of us. Because you're going to have to go and get treated, and then the frontline responder is going to have to treat you, and then that's in the hospital, and right. It just trickles down. So wear a mask. It's not hard, is it? It is for a lot of people, it seems like. Maybe not here. Maybe we're doing a good job. Maybe we are doing a good job. Can we do better?
Yes.
Sure. But I think the biggest, frighteningest thing from all this is the asymptomatic people. You don't know who doesn't. I wish we all had scarlet letters. I love to wear the big C. I got it. Hey.
Well, and
COVID
talking about now is that you can be a carrier and not realize you're a carrier because it doesn't affect you, but it could affect someone you're in contact with.
Yeah, and that's not any breaking news. So let's get smart. And you want to have some football? You want to have some basketball? You like those things? High school? Things like that? But the reason the kids aren't going back to school is why? So I don't get it.
Yep.
Because we don't want them to have it or teachers to have it. Well, why would we want anyone to have it?